Amen. We remind ourselves of who you are, Lord. We thank you for what you've done. We sing to you because you're a Lord Almighty, God in heaven and earth. And we lift up your word now, and we look to your word, and we realize, Holy Spirit, that you've inspired it, and that you are inspiring us to look to this word and to know what you meant when you wrote it through the pen of whoever did write the book of Exodus, Lord. We ask that you would add the blessing to the reading of your word in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So we've been in the book of Exodus for a good long time, and we sort of splash out of it into the sort of whatever is being preached currently on the way, and we're coming back now to Exodus chapter 8. And last week was a bit of a one-off sermon on the reliability of this past history for our present living. And it seemed important, so that was what we preached to you from here. So we'll just recognize it as we look at the book of Exodus, and we'll end up in chapter 8 this morning, that the story of Moses includes a cry from bondage. Can you relate to that? Are there things set against you in the world that you are not the source of, that are happening, that you have to deal with? A cry from bondage we see in the book of Exodus. And then we have this gift of a hero, essentially born to die. Moses, not unlike many abortions in today's world, was a baby who was meant to be not there, to be taken care of, to be dismissed, thrown into the river with all the other male children of Egypt. But this didn't happen. Now, we say he's a hero, but do you know what? Moses is also a criminal deliverer. Moses, the hothead, the man who couldn't control his temper, was a murderer. He killed a man, and the consequences of his actions sent him running off to the back end of the desert, out of the story for 40 years in Midian. So the consequences of his actions delayed, perhaps, what God was going to do through Moses. Some would say maybe that was all part of God's plan, and well, we're just puppets on a string. I see more choice in how the story goes, and God achieving his goals in spite of our choices. But here we have a hero born to die, a criminal deliverer, wandering in the desert as a murderer. And then we see the call to a broken man out of a burning bush. Here's a guy who used to be the prince of Egypt, who used to be a criminal on the run, who is now a shepherd watching sheep, chasing sheep through the hills. And he saw something spectacular. God took a person, settled for their lot in life, the consequences of their own sin, and he said, "Hey, are you up for it? I'll use you. Come here." Right? Moses, "I think I'm going to go check that out." He didn't know God was there. He just saw this bush is burning, but nothing's happening. But God was in it. Could God be in the circumstances of your life that are interesting and peculiar? Are you alert for investigating the stuff that's going on the periphery of it? You're busy doing what you're doing. He was busy watching sheep. Are you alert to the chapping at your door that might be God trying to get your attention? Well, it's good for Moses, right? But it's good for us too. This stuff matters for today. Then we see the reward of faithfulness. Moses comes to depend mostly on God. And he's following God. And he mostly gets it right. And when he doesn't, we see the consequences of his decisions, and it's just like our lives. So, these things are important, aren't they? Did you notice when we were singing the song that we sang, "No guilt in life, no fear in death, this is the power of Christ in me"? Are you sitting here guilty? And it's your fault. And you deserve to be off in Midian watching sheep, and that's all you'll get. Well, we sang something different here. No guilt in life. Yeah, you did it. Yeah, I did it. We've all sinned. We fall short of the glory of God. But in Christ, the power of Christ in me, is that guilt is dealt with. That's good news. No fear in death. How many things do we do to avoid pain? And why do we avoid pain? Because pain will lead to pain, will lead to pain, will lead to pain, and then I'll be dead. So it's fear of death that drives you. Think about that. The next time, whatever it is that's got you, oh dear, just skip all of it and go, "And then we'll be dead." And then laugh at yourself. Look in the mirror and go, then I'll be dead. Yeah? No fear of death. It doesn't stop. It's a change of address. Get your kit on. Be ready. I saw a bumper sticker. Jesus is coming. Look busy. What's up with that? That's the way it used to be. When I was a soft shoe guy in a real estate development company, going to a site and sort of inspecting things, the suits on a construction site, oh, you know, almost loathed, you know? And all the guys are like, oh, yeah, no, I wasn't talking. I always work. That's all I do. Can I have a raise? You know, here comes soft shoe. Here comes 20-something-year-old doesn't even know how the world runs yet, and they gave him a job to oversee me, and I've been working hard for 30 years, right? Jesus is coming. Look busy. That's the sort of sentiment. But you can't pull it together in a time of war. You prepare yourself during a time of peace for what will come to shake what you believe in, to test your faith. Have it to rely on when it comes. Here's this guy, Moses. He was ready to lead. No, he killed a guy. He was ready to stand up for his people. No, he got chased out of town and ran away. He wasn't ready. But God took him in the breaking and in the sort of grinding of life and made him ready. And the sweet fragrance of that is something that we should really grow to appreciate in our own lives. God is calling all of us the way he called this Moses guy. Now, Jesus taught in Matthew chapter 5, the Sermon on the Mount, blessed are the poor in spirit. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So you got to know that you need a doctor in order to go and get help from a doctor. And then you can just persist in sickness, but it's going to manifest at some point and it's going to have effect. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Right? Congratulations if you're sad and mourning. What? That's not good. It's bad. Yes. But if you know it, and if you reach out, there's comfort. Blessed be the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our afflictions, so that we may comfort those in any affliction with the comfort that we ourselves have received from God. You don't have to have cancer to comfort somebody with cancer. You just have to have had suffered through your stuff to sympathize with anybody else's stuff. And God has prepared us. And God has prepared Moses. And Moses is humble. God made Moses write, if Moses wrote the Bible, the first five books, that Moses was the most humble man who ever lived. Moses, write this down. You were the most humble. Well, write down, Moses was the most humble man who ever lived. Aw, God, everyone's going to think I put that in there. Dude, just write it down. Moses was the most humble man that ever lived. It's either the rant of an arrogant man, or it's a hand under the service of God putting pen to paper so that you could hear. This guy who grew up alongside Pharaoh's son was the most humble man who ever lived. What's the difference? His suffering and his grinding and his time in the desert. Blessed are those who are meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Meek is not weak. Meek is resisting, exercising your strength. Meek. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. How you doing? Praying for the right choices in the referendum, the right laws coming out of Parliament, the continued influence of Westminster, who is still going to be there setting the interest rate on the pound, even if it's a positive outcome of the desire to become independent, right? All of these things, they're still happening, but those who hunger and thirst for righteousness shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart. They shall see God. I want to see God. I want to see God at work in my life today. But I know that I'm a dirty bird. Do you know that about yourself? Do you look in the mirror and go, boy, you know. Do you take the cake? right? Maybe you're not down on yourself, like, oh, I'm just a worm, right? But you know how it is. Your stuff shows up and you go, oh, why do I do that? But God already knows about it. Jesus died on the cross for all sin, and here we are with like a full account and needing to draw on it. Yeah. He didn't die for everybody else's sin but yours. Right? I don't know. I think I might be an impersonator and I don't belong with that group of people. I don't know. Maybe it's just not me. Does that thought plague you? There's a lot of people in the world who believe that thought. I'm not one of them. God so loved the world that whosoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. And it's there and it's on the doorstep. And you have to take it up and decide, Jesus died for my sin. I have sin. It is my sin. God, please forgive my sin in Jesus' name. And God says, I would take that.